Why doesn't Maggie Edgar sponsor this show?
Thank you, Pat. Henry starts, not I.
Here we go.
Rolling?
We is rolling. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hank Weaver welcoming you to another transcribed session of Hollywood Byline Coast to Coast and inviting you to listen in on an actual press conference with an outstanding Hollywood star.
Tonight, Hollywood Byline is pleased to present Betty Hutton, whose latest starring role is in Annie Get Your Gun and Paramount's forthcoming Let's Dance.
Miss Hutton will be interviewed by reporters whose beat is the film capital of the world. Reporters who know Hollywood inside out. Let's meet them now as we take a turn around our Hollywood press table and pick up their bylines.
Mikhail Novak, Philadelphia Bulletin.
Lloyd Sloan, Hollywood Citizen News and Movie Life Magazine.
Sidney Skolsky, syndicated columnist, New York Post.
Dar Smith, the Los Angeles Daily News.
And now to speak as a representative of our repertorial panel and to welcome Miss Hutton to Hollywood Byline, Mr. Sidney Skolsky.
Thank you, Hank Weaver. There's no need to introduce Betty Hutton. She introduces herself, always has. She has merely to enter a room, and everyone knows she is there. Her presence is felt. I'm sure you people in the radio audience know that Betty Hutton is at our press table. She doesn't need TV. Betty Hutton has been described as... What?
I just haven't made a sound.
That's what I mean. Betty Hutton has been called perpetual motion, high voltage. They say she's dynamite. Then along came something new, and Betty Hutton was described as atomic. But even this wasn't sufficient. So when the atomic bomb was surpassed, they took the H from Hutton and named the H-bomb after her.
Wow!
They give Betty Hutton to Benzedrine pills to make them peppy. I can see she's bursting, sitting there, ready to leap into action.
Oh, Robin.
I did, of course. So I'll dispense with any more preliminary remarks, and in a typical...
Preliminary remarks?
Oh, what?
Ever to the brain.
So I'll dispense with any more introductory remarks. And in a typical Hutton manner, greet her by yelling, "Hiya, Dreamboat," and ask the first question. Last Saturday night, a long-standing tradition was broken when a woman, that's you, Betty.
That's me.
Performed at the Friars Frolic. How did this precedent-breaking event come about?
Well, Sidney, I think actually they needed another act. Georgie came over to see me, Georgie Jessel, and Al Jolson couldn't go on, as you know.
That's always with him, yeah.
Yeah, laryngitis,
yeah.
So Georgie thought it would be a wonderful idea if I came on in the Annie outfit, because it looks sort of like a boy anyway, and do a few numbers from Annie Get Your Gun, and the picture's going to be released, and there's been so much publicity about it. So I was very thrilled and very honored, but as I say, I really think it's because they needed another act. Someone took a derogatory remark about that and said that the honor shouldn't be given to me, it should have been given to someone like Ethel Barrymore, and I quite agree, except I don't think she can sing a song, which is what they wanted.
Well, then what happened, Betty, is they dubbed you in instead of Larry Parks for Jolson.
Huh? Yeah, so I came out instead of Larry Parks, that's right.
Betty, wasn't there quite a bit of talk against your doing the Friars show, that is, afterward and before both?
No, darling, there wasn't any talk against it because no one knew about it. It was a big secret.
Well, I mean afterward, you had... Having...
Afterward, oh no, just that one person who remained nameless took a crack about it and said that the honor should have gone to someone like Ethel Barrymore. And I quite agree, but as I repeat, they wanted someone to sing a song.
Lloyd Sloan?
Well, Betty, getting away from the Friars Frolic, despite your years, and they're not too many, I'm sure, you've been in show business a long time. How did you actually get your start?
Well, we needed a buck, so...
That's a good reason.
My mother worked in a factory, as you know, in Detroit, which is quite famous by now, I guess, and they're laid off, you know, 6 months out of the year, so during those 6 months we had to eat. So Marion and I used to sing on street corners, which is how it started.
How old were you both then?
Well, I think we were around... I was around 7 years old when I was singing for pennies on the street corner.
Uh-huh.
Betty, your real name, I know, is Betty Jane Thornburg.
Betty June Thornburg.
June.
Why do I
you always look like a Jane
to
me.
It's a Freudian slip, you know, yeah. A Jane.
Yeah, I do know a Jane. Well, it's really Betty June Thornburg, and that Vincent Lopez, the orchestra leader, who's interested in numerology, changed it to Hutton because of vibrations, he said, of numbers. And now that you're a hit with that name, do you believe in numerology?
Well, I don't know if I believe it exactly, Sidney, but it truly did happen. The day he changed my name, I opened at the Casa Manana, and I was a big hit, and up until then, nothing happened.
Maybe you just had better material.
Maybe so, but no, I've been using the same material.
Same material?
Yeah. He said that name meant money and it had the right vibration for me, so I guess you got to go along with the guy. He's done very well in the stuff himself, you know.
Yeah, and later he sued you for some money, didn't he?
Yeah, he sued me for $50,000, but he didn't win.
I know, but he knew it meant money.
Well, I wish I could vibrate a little, but I'm not very good at figures. Betty, I know that during your childhood you had to do without a lot of things to make a child happy. Kind of a poor background. In view of these lean years, do you think you go overboard today? And do you spoil your children with sort of overpowering them with gifts?
Well, Mickey, that's kind of a hard question to answer. I don't think I spoil them. I try very hard not to. I do buy them lots of things, and that's only normal, I think, because I never had anything, as I say, when I was a kid, and it's a natural and normal instinct to want to give your kids everything you didn't have. But in doing that, I teach that they know how to do dishes, they dress themselves, and they're only 2 and 3, as you know.
Well,
they help
amazing.
Clean up their room, and I don't think you can do much more than that to train them. My children are very well behaved, I could honestly say. And I don't think I spoil them. The only thing I do that maybe is wrong, I buy them a few too many dresses.
Lloyd Sloan, would
Betty, what are some of the things that you did without that they now
just about
have?
Everything.
Well, what things did you particularly want when you were a kid that you didn't get?
Well, first I wanted steak, which I never had.
You mean they're getting steak at 2 and 3?
Yeah, they sure do. And, well, we just didn't have anything. We didn't have any toys. We didn't have any clothes. We had, like, one dress, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, we didn't have a room of our own. We didn't even have a house. So these are all the things, naturally, but beyond all that, I want security for them. And I think that I even have done that. We have a couple annuities so that if I ever die tomorrow, they'll at least be able to eat.
Sidney Skolsky?
Betty, when you were a youngster, you weren't considered as pretty as your sister Marion. In fact, you envied and tried to outshine her, I hear. What are your feelings toward Marion these days?
Well, I love her, Sidney, as you know, with a mad passion. But that was, you see, when we were kids, they didn't have what they call psychology of any kind in those days. If my mother had understood the problem, we would never have had such a very, you know, the cold kind of feeling we grew up with was because she didn't understand why I hated her, and I didn't know why I hated her. But it was all because of her beauty that my mother never quite understood at the time. But now that we're grown up and adult, this has all been taken care of.
Well, then Mr. Freud told you, and that settled everything.
No, we had to learn the hard way, unfortunately. But we are very close today.
She even took the name of Hutton. The numerology was good for her, huh?
Well, she got in the business after I did, so it only made good sense, I think, that she should take that name.
Mm-hmm. Dar Smith?
Betty, there's something about you that's always interested me greatly. I'd like to know if your volcanic eruptions on stage and screen have any ill effects on your health.
Well, no, I don't think so. I have to get an awful lot of rest, but I'm very high-strung, as you probably know, and I have to do that much to get it out of my system.
Well, Betty, following Dar's question, as a woman, I always wonder how you manage to look so calm and unruffled after those violent scenes you have in pictures. What's your secret?
Well, you see, this to me is not work, Mickey. This is a great, great pleasure. Just like like your work, you don't get all ruffled up when you're writing a story. Well, it's as natural to me to erupt as it is for you to write.
Lloyd Sloan?
Well, Betty, this erupting and hectic type of singing we've been talking about is, of course, what made you famous. But I happen to have a few records at home on which a gal named Betty Hutton does some pretty smooth ballad singing. How did the change come about? Did you sing ballads first? Was it?
No, I started out with the other. Of course, the old saying, comics want to play dramatics, uh-huh, and dramatic actresses want to be comedians. Well, I always wanted to sing ballads. So occasionally in a picture, I get a crack at them. But they're not exactly my racket yet, but I'm working on it.
Well, I have a lot of fun because I play one of them. I can't remember. It had to be you, that's right. And I always say, who is this? And nobody ever guesses it, and they think it's terrific.
You notice I remember the name of the record.
Well, is that
the
one?
About 2 or 3.
Sidney?
I love Larry saying, no one knows who it is, and they think it's terrific. That's great. Betty, your energy on the sets
What's wrong with it?
That means
gentlemen,
I'm
please.
Sensational,
yeah.
Sidney. See?
It isn't the name that sells it.
Yeah. Please, back to the question, Mr.
Betty, your energy getting to that or not leaving it on the sets makes you well-liked by the crew. I hear only one criticism. Hutton sets are cold. And I mean just the weather part.
I didn't.
Well, Sidney, that is because I am so nervous that when I go on the set, if they have any heat on at all, I pass out, and this is no joke. I just go out.
No kidding.
And it all comes from nerves, which I can't control when I'm working.
So everyone freezes while you're hot,
they have
huh?
to keep it very cold, yes, and then I can operate.
Yeah, once they have the sign out, you know, Hutton's Polo Palace.
Polar Palace, yeah. Well, the guys on high, you know, have fur coats on
yeah.
them.
Well, all this energy then, Betty, is nervous energy, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, mm-hmm. it is. Uh-huh.
You know, it's something I've been dying to ask you. I understand that you hate to be alone and that if you even have to walk across the Paramount lot, that's a plug, you know, that you grab onto somebody and have them walk with you. What's the reason for this?
Well, Mickey, I can't answer that. It's very difficult to explain, as Sidney says. I have to delve into Freudian excuses, I guess, for that. I really don't know. I just hate to be alone. And I really couldn't give you a good answer to it. I don't know.
And she especially likes a crowd when she's performing.
Maybe I just like
audience.
To be on, Sidney.
Yeah.
Lloyd Sloan?
From all reports, Betty, I hear Annie Get Your Gun is making all the executives and everyone else at Metro very happy. They consider it one of the best musicals ever made out in Culver City. So now that you have reached this peak in your career, what's ahead?
Well, I don't know. I hope some more good roles, Lloyd. I have a secret ambition. One day I would like to be a producer, or I would like to be a director.
Well, when is this one day?
Well, I would say I have like about 10 years before I'm going to do that, but I'm already learning how to cut. I go in the projection room and watch them cut pictures and how they edit them and how the scripts are formed and how you develop certain pictures for certain players and along that line.
Have you told anyone at Paramount about this?
No, I'm going to sneak up on them with this little idea of mine.
I've got a good
girl.
Story you can direct. The
yes.
Betty Hutton story.
Who will star it?
Well, these girls.
No, Betty Garrett. You keep it in the
Park
family.
Dar Smith?
Betty, of course we all know that Judy Garland was Metro's first choice for Annie Get Your Gun.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about being Metro's second choice for the picture?
I wouldn't have cared if I'd have been a tenth choice, just so I got it.
Mickey?
Betty, I understand you want your two little girls to become actresses. And coming from an actress, this sentiment is a little unusual, isn't it? What's your reason for wanting to pass along the grease paint?
Well, Mickey, because I think it is the only profession in the world where people like us, and when I say people like us, I mean without an education, without a buck to start with, get everything in the world that you want if you are willing to work. You meet the most wonderful people in the world. You even get to meet the President of the United States. And what other business could offer this to youngsters coming up? And just as this is really the only field I know where you can get to meet them. You're accepted on any premise, practically. I mean, you could even be sort of a bad actress and you get a break in this field, you know? And I don't know. It's been maybe so great to me that I want my kids to be in it. I think they'd have a ball.
Well, that's the best cue for there's no business like show business I've ever heard. Why don't you do a little of it?
Because there's no business like show business like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra ball. That's enough.
Yeah, now you're not nervous anymore, are you?
How are you going to follow that act, Skolsky? Good question.
Well, I'll get serious.
You would
again.
Switch.
Yeah, I'm a switch hitter. Betty, in a recent interview, you said that you had great success and it had brought you no happiness. You have wealth, fame, children, a brilliant career, romance. But what constitutes happiness for you?
Well, Sidney, that is not exactly what I said. I said that it hadn't brought the happiness that I thought it would bring. I thought, you know, you told me when I was in very tough circumstances that if I was going to have wealth, a home, and so forth, that this wouldn't bring complete happiness. I would say you're nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. It doesn't bring complete happiness. And, of course, I suppose it's a well-known fact by now that my marriage didn't go so well, and that would bring complete happiness to me and I just hope and pray that that turns out for me one day.
I hope so, too.
Thank you.
Dar Smith?
I've heard you say that playing the London Palladium was a project you wanted to repeat again after your great success there before. However, I'm wondering, is the possible presence of actor Stuart Granger there at the time you might go anything to do with...
Absolutely not.
None at all?
None at all.
That takes care of that, Mr. Smith. Now
period.
Back to you, Michelle Novak.
Well, Time magazine had to reprint thousands of covers of your picture, I understand, because your eyes were printed blue instead of what they really are, brown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most blondes have blue eyes, Betty. There's one gal to another, and you can hit me if you want. Are you a natural blonde with brown eyes?
Well, I don't have to hit you because I am a natural blonde. This can be verified by any beauty operator in town.
Well, I think it's wonderful, and I always wanted to be a brown-eyed blonde, but it didn't happen that
You're
way
awful
somehow.
Pretty being a blue-eyed brunette.
Well, thank you, Miss Hutton.
Gee, even Paramount doesn't know this, because I understand in Let's Dance, Fred Astaire's looking for a blonde with
That's
blue
right.
eyes,
That's
and you
right.
come along.
They always just assume I have blue eyes.
Yeah.
Lloyd Sloan?
Well, of course, Paramount haven't been looking at the screen very long.
That's why you had to go to Metro.
Yeah.
Lanny.
Betty, Time covers are usually reserved for politicians and generals. How did it feel to have your picture on the cover?
Well, Lloyd, I guess it's just about the greatest thrill, outside of getting Annie, that I've ever had in my entire life. I'm very, very proud of it, and I'll tell you honestly, I must have 50,000 copies in my house. I hand them out for dinner.
Well, have you ever put you on again? Brought up the circulation.
They were really wonderful to me, Sidney.
Yes,
really.
They were.
Have you? Is it true that you memorized the text of the piece?
No, not quite.
Come on, recite that like you did, Shelby.
No, Dar was to follow there with the... Now they're separated, boom. I figured you'd just pick up.
There's no business like show business.
Oh.
What, are we doing this on a portable?
Oh, what did you say about this?
I got an idea for it.
No, they're probably using it.
What?
The record.
Is that right?
Yeah, you're still on this one.
Yes.
Tom Baxter would like to know if you're going to do that Harold Express thing with him.
Well, if Mr. Baxter will be in the sports department of the Herald Express at 12:30, I'll be only too happy. Tell him to set up by George Davis's desk, and if, I must go to lunch.
Can you pick you up there?
I will meet him down there.
If your wife calls,
tell him he can run up my
mileage.
That's okay.
Brown eyes.
I'd like to, just before we get to this thing, that we got one thing more. What personal satisfaction you get out of your career? Now, you kind of... answered that and that and very well. I'd like to end the show. I think maybe we can go back and say, well, it's like I said, not.
Well, she's going to give the Eisenhower anecdote.
Yeah, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd like you to tell. To end this.
I ruined my shoe shine. I've only had it 2 weeks.
You have
you
more or less
what I mean?
Answered it in regard to what you said the business was for your children.
That was a good speech.
It was a very good
what do you mean the Eisenhower anecdote? What do you want me to say?
Well, Lindsay told me that. But you said that when you met Eisenhower, it was the greatest thing in your life.
Yeah.
The fact that who you were.
Yeah.
And he said that during the war, when
Did
things were
it?
Really
good,
yeah.
He would run to the Miracle of Morgan Street and ran into
the
really got you, you know.
And well, do you want to change the other answer?
No, no.
Repeat it here. All right.
In other words, take a repeat.
All right.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just this weekend. I mean, I can take off next week.
Oh, yeah. All right, where did we leave off?
The bottom page two.
Okay, huh?
Yeah, bottom page two.
All right.
Dar Smith?
Betty, you mentioned that your marriage had unfortunately not turned out too happy. I wonder if you have any matrimonial plans, if you have any matrimonial plans now.
No, I haven't, Dar, but... I said before, I sure hope one day that I can be married happily. I think this is the greatest thing a woman could be, is happily married.
Do you think it's important whether your future husband would be a professional or a non-professional, as we say?
Well, that's kind of hard to answer. As you know, some of the marriages out here work very well with non-professionals. It just didn't happen to work out with me. But I think it's pretty wonderful to be married to someone in the profession because I think you have a lot more interests, a lot more mutual interests, I mean.
Mr. Skolsky?
Betty, despite the fact that you're a bundle of energy, I happen to know that you have to stop for sleep now and then, and that you do your sleeping in a king-size bed, wearing pajamas, both the tops and bottoms.
How did
generally
you find that out?
Oh, I get around. But that you do have insomnia.
Yes, I do, Sidney. I have insomnia, something awful, and I don't know what it comes from or why, because you'd think by the time I hit that bed, I would be absolutely dead. But I get in bed, and for maybe for 20 minutes, I'll go to sleep, and then I wake up, and I start plotting about the next day, you know, the scenes I'm going to do, the scenes I didn't do, and now I've got to do this, and I got to do that. And my mind just goes around and around and around, and I don't go to sleep.
Yeah, you're too active, even
too
in
active,
sleep.
Too active, yeah, I can't turn it off.
Yeah.
The threat of one-nighters have anything to do with it, perhaps, ever going
maybe
back to
so, them? Maybe so. I used to sleep, you know, during the day and work during the night. But since I've been in California, it's all been reversed, and I haven't slept since I've been here, practically.
I wish I could look and act like this with no sleep.
Yeah. Short, Bill?
Yeah.
All right, I've got one question I was going to suggest.
Yeah.
You don't have as
what's
many
the
questions.
Matter? Well, let's any more?
Yeah, there's one
well,
question.
Let's just skip it then.
Well, there's one other question.
We're
clear. I thought you might throw in that'll figure.
We're under.
You believe in numerology or any of that stuff? The only point is the Times Magazine jinx gag. You know the gag about all the sporting figures, like they put a horse's picture. Excuse me, on the front of the magazine,
okay.
And it's a favorite for the Derby, and it loses. You know.
No.
It's been considered a sporting jinx, or...
I don't know anything about it.
I don't know.
No.
Well, Bill, I could follow up. I was going to when she... Betty was talking about when she first started, she and Marion singing in the street.
Mm-hmm.
You could ask what she did, something like that, in there. You want to...
We went by that awful fast.
Yeah, we got out of that fast.
You're early, you know.
Yeah.
You
want to
get back? I think you can get something out of that.
Yeah, but we're only...
All right. Well, let me throw that in. What did you do?
See, actually, we left you. You were singing on the streets with your sister, and the next thing you know, your name has changed, and the next thing you're in the Copacabana. What happened?
Oh, you mean
between?
You wanted... Oh, yeah, so I didn't know
you.
How much you wanted.
Well, no, that's it.
We didn't ask
it. Let me
throw
that in then.
Lloyd, will you
preface it by saying
when you go back fast?
I mean, I should go, oh, you're not
going to
cut it in?
No, it's a natural thing to
go
back. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Betty, we went by your early career pretty fast before. What happened after the time you and Marion were singing on the streets? And as a matter of fact, what did you do on the streets? What type of singing?
Please.
Well, I'll tell you how it really started. My mother used to play the guitar. And she taught Mary and I how to sing a tune called The Black Bottom. Remember that?
I remember that.
And some of these days... And little things like that. And Marion and I would sing on the corners, and they'd throw dimes and nickels, you know.
Where was this?
And this was in Detroit, Michigan. And then they had what they call 3-2 beer gardens at the time. Now, we were not old enough to get in, but we were so very young, they did allow us on the show. And Mother would take us in, and she'd play for us, and we'd sing. We'd make the rounds about 10 a night. We made about $10 a night, which was pretty good, you know.
Not bad at all.
That was called corn busking or something, wasn't it?
Huh?
Wasn't that called?
No, never heard of that name. No, plain hustling for money.
Betty, your voice always wasn't this big, was it? Betty, your voice wasn't always this big and lively, shall we say?
Well, I've got to tell you, Mickey, it's never been good. It's always been loud.
What happened, Betty? After the hustling days of the beer
Well, garden? I finally got a break, as you know, with Vincent Lopez's band. Up to there, I'd been around with a lot of bands around Battle Creek and Detroit and Lansing and the little towns around there. And I went to New York once when I was 15, and, I guess I was there about 3 months, and I had to come home because I was flat broke. Mm-hmm. And that's when I finally met Vincent, and he took me on my way to success. And my sister was working at a joint called the Nut House in Detroit. And after I was with Vincent for about 6 months, I had her come on and join us, and then she learned the technique of singing with a band. And then, as you know, she went with Glenn Miller from there. You used to work with Glenn.
I did.
Old boy.
Yes.
And Hank.
Corn hustling or something.
Huh?
Corn hustling or something. Hank comes across with those corn balls.
Anyway, she went on to great success with Glenn. And now Marion, of course, is out in vaudeville by herself. And I didn't really want to say too much about this because I felt I'd been written about so much, Lloyd. You know, I don't know any new slant to give you
on
it.
Yeah, but Lloyd doesn't read it, all right.
Oh.
I wrote it, but I didn't read it.
Betty, I'd like you to do something now that I don't think you've ever done or anyone has heard you do. Why don't you just whisper?
All right.
Swell.
It's not the same, Hutton.
Mickey?
Pardon me, I'm lost.
You want to get back to it?
Oh, I didn't know you still wanted to do that.
Is that all right?
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shall I go? Betty, just one thing more. Aside from the fat weekly paycheck involved, what personal satisfaction do you get out of this wonderful career?
Well, Mickey, I sort of touched on this before when you asked me about my children and why I wanted them to be in show business. You see, I was fortunate enough to be invited to the press photographer's ball in Washington for the president, and I can't tell you what a great thrill it was for me to meet all of these fabulous men, and I guess that is when I really decided that this was the greatest business in the world for somebody like me, because I saw the whole, panorama of my life go before me, looking at these great guys. How did I even get in the same room with them, you know? And I thought, well, they won't really probably even know who I am. And General Eisenhower, when I was introduced to him, said, "How do you do, Betty?" He said, "I want you to know that during the very tough time my boys had during the war, you gave us our greatest happiness." So, naturally, with tears running down my face, I said, "Well, sir, to have you even recognize me and know me is one thing, but to say that I brought them happiness at a time like that is just about the greatest thing anyone could ever say to me." And I said, "Well, just what do you mean? Because I know I wasn't in that particular battle area." So he said, "They ran a picture called Miracle of Morgan's Creek every single night. The boys got such a kick out of it." So, as you can see, Mickey and everybody on this board, this is about the greatest kind of thrill a gal like me can ever have.
And I hear at the end of it, you said, "Thank you, Dreamboat."
Betty, by the way, wasn't Miracle of Morgan's Creek the only straight role you ever had?
Well, it wasn't exactly a straight role, dear. I didn't do any singing in the picture. It was a comedy, as you know. I played straight for Eddie in a way, but it was... Every role in it was funny. I mean, it was a comedy.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the usual type of thing.
That's right. No, yes, it was a complete switch from anything I'd done before.
Cut. Now, we'll take it right back from... I'm going to end on what she said.
Right. You want me to take it up?
Yeah.
Oh,
Dream Girl was a straight
Well, that's
role.
A horrible picture, don't you?
She doesn't want
to... No, but I mean, but you can't
We're
say...
We're picking up after...
I said it was just about...
It was the first one.
Yeah.
Direct. Hank will give me a direct name cue for you. I'll be at early.
Why?
I
can't want to mention Dream Girl.
No,
Why, honey?
Betty
doesn't want to mention.
What?
Oh. Yeah, were you ever dancing with Fred Astaire before? And with
the first one?
No, yeah, it was the first time I ever danced.
The very opening of the show.
Astaire.
I
right.
Yeah. Time. Yeah. Yeah, it was on the lap of the Dreamboat.
Yeah.
You want me to hit it flat or just straight?
Well, can we ask if Lyda said they want that?
All right, she wants to ask
something
about.
You want to talk about Dream Girl at all?
No, about Fred Astaire and Let's Dance.
No, I learned not to make that kind of picture.
That's what I mean. You don't want to
what time of picture?
She doesn't want to mention Dream Girl.
Let's talk about Let's Dance.
All right, we got to throw that
all
in.
You can hit a good slam on Paramount.
No.
Talk all the time about MGM. Let's talk about
Paramount.
Well, no, it's just
well, listen, it was the first picture I ever danced in, though, which is right. Kind of interesting. And I rehearsed 3 months with him, 10 hours
right.
A day.
Let's talk. Let's just sit
and
talk about
right.
Annie. Get your gun, Lloyd.
What about Let's Dance?
Yeah, let's hear a little.
Go ahead,
Larry.
You want me to
yes.
Pick up anywhere?
I think so. I mean, who's been in at the least, Dar?
No, I've been in.
Yeah.
Betty, there's been an awful lot of talk about Annie. Get your gun, and what a great picture that is. Tell us a little bit about Let's Dance, the picture that you did with Fred Astaire.
You just made that.
Kid's a great ad-lib artist.
Lloyd, I think that the picture I did with Fred Astaire called Let's Dance is just about one of the best musicals I've ever been in, and not due to me, due to Fred Astaire, who, in my opinion, is the greatest dancing, acting, any kind of star you want to mention, he's the end. The only thing about him, he's murder when he's teaching you how to dance. You know, I had never danced on the screen. I jumped around, but never had done a legitimate step.
Yeah.
So they brought me in the morning to do maturgetés and me boit masse with a ballet teacher, and I said, "Oh, no, no." And I would rehearse from 9 to noon. Then he gave me an hour for lunch. Then I met with Fred Astaire and Hermes Pan over in the dance bungalow, and we tap danced till 6 o'clock at night. I want to tell you, I was dead.
Betty, don't tell me you didn't sleep those nights.
I certainly didn't. I was so frightened every morning that I'd forget one step. You know, you have to have your little finger operating right with him. But he was so, so great, and this went on for 3 months, and when I went before the cameras, he was right in all that rehearsal, because I wasn't frightened. Mm-hmm. I was ready for it, you know.
Well, Betty, I'm afraid we've come to a point in our Hollywood press conference of the air. We'll have to take a little intermission. In a moment, we will turn the tables and have Miss Hutton, instead of our reporters, do the question asking. But first, let's listen to Irving Howard.
Cut, Irving, please. Hank, go into it a little bit differently. Now, remember what she just said.
Well, I thought I was down.
We could have cut that in.
Down too much. I think something like, well, that's maybe, you know, that's nice to end on or something.
On that note of sincerity, we come to a point.
No. Yeah.
That is about the nicest thing that ever happened to a girl. Thank you very much.
Senator Johnson, please.
That was her line. That was her closing line.
Sure. Well, I guess we all agree that.
Well, Betty, I guess we all agree that that's just about the nicest thing that could happen to a young lady. But I'm afraid we've come to a point in our Hollywood press conference of the air where we'll have to take a little intermission. In a moment, we will turn the tables and have you, instead of our reporters, ask the questions. First, let's listen to Irving Howard.
Today, as never before, the elementary public school system in America faces a critical situation. The facts are alarming. An increased birth rate during and since the war has resulted in expanded enrollments that will crowd the elementary schools with millions of additional children during the next 5 years. Immediate action is needed now to cope with the enormously enlarged school population. As a parent and citizen in your community, you can help to assure a proper education for your children by working with local civic groups and school boards actively seeking to improve educational conditions. Remember, better schools make better communities. And now back to Hollywood Byline and our moderator, Hank Weaver.
Hi, Bob. And Bob, will you tell Macon to stop for just a moment?
Tonight, Hollywood Byline is pleased to present Betty Hutton, whose latest starring role is in Annie Get Your Gun and Paramount's forthcoming Let's Dance.
What would you say if you please? What would your reporter say if it were suggested you had to? If it were suggested. Don't you think it's better?
What do you want?
What would your reporter
She's
say?
Singing into the microphone right here.
You'll
be looking out at
one
of my
hands and
close it up tight.
With the do you
mind?
No.
Is he licensed to act as each picture?
Yeah, just practice.
Well,
that's my question. Don't you go and say I'm a moral.
Don't cut off Hank with this thing either.
Well, I can be over here.
God fearing.
Well, bring the picture. Lloyd?
No, I'll work on this.
Smoke marijuana during the duration of this picture.
I'll work on this. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to your reserve seat at our coast-to-coast Hollywood press table with our guest star, Betty Hutton. Miss Hutton has just been interviewed by Mikhail Novak, Lloyd Sloan, Sidney Skolsky, Dar Smith. Now we come to the last portion of our Hollywood press conference and reverse our procedure. Betty Hutton is ready with a whole bag of questions, and our staff of reporters, so trained in asking questions, will try answering them for a change. Betty, question number one, please.
All right. Now, Hank, I want everybody to answer this question. Can I just go around one by one here?
You certainly may.
Okay. I don't know if you gentlemen have heard about the fact that they're going to try to license actors in all their pictures now, but what would your reporter say if it were suggested you should obtain licenses from Congress in order to have any of your stories printed?
Take it in the order, Lloyd Sloan.
Lloyd?
Well, we've heard about it, Betty. In fact, we've been discussing it quite a bit on Hollywood Byline. We wouldn't like it. Put it that way. In fact, we have said pretty adamantly in print and on the air that it would be a pretty disgraceful thing, which is one of the reasons I think that Senator Johnson is backing down on his original plan to license actors.
Dar?
Well, I think that I would fight that just as hard as we have been fighting Senator Johnson's absurd proposal. It's certainly an infringement upon freedom of the press, just as this is, in another sense, infringement on freedom of the press. That is, I mean, licensing actors is certainly an infringement on freedom of expression.
Sort of licensing a dog or something, you know.
Yeah. Sydney?
Well, I just want to get a license to hunt congressmen, that's all.
Open season.
It always has been open season in politics. Mikkel?
Well, I agree with Dar, Betty. I would certainly scream just as loudly against licensing the press as we all on this program, at least, have screamed against licensing actors.
We might even scream a little louder.
Oh, no, if there's going to be any screaming for us, let's get Betty.
Yeah, let me in on it. I'll change my mind. I might get to be a reporter instead of being a producer. I like this record. You're asking the questions, you know. You're on the other side now.
You can be my leg woman.
Now, Sydney, be quiet. It's my turn. I'm asking questions, and I'm the boss.
That's what I've been trying to do for weeks with that guy. Thank you, Hutton.
Sydney?
Yes, ma'am.
I know that all of you reporters get invitations to go to a lot of balls and parties and things for all the different movie stars and the different personalities that come into town. Now, how do you, kind of sift them down? How do you decide which party preview or what function you're going to go to? Is it dependent upon how big the star is or how much food you're going to get or what? Sydney.
No, it depends on how I think the party's going to be and what the occasion is. If there's a party for you, Betty, at Macombo, and you're going to do the Charleston, I'm going to be there. But if there's a party for Marjorie Maine, it's not as alluring.
Mickey?
Well, I agree with Sydney. They don't often conflict, Betty, and when they do, you have to kind of decide which one is the best for the particular type of coverage you have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Well, I think a lot depends on how tired you are, whether you go out at all.
Well, that's right.
Hitting this grind, you have to have the energy of a Hutton in order to stand up on her. I'd rather go to bed most of the time.
Yeah, but if you have to go, you have to go to these things, don't you? Huh?
Well, it's, again, a matter of personal choice, pretty much, whether you decide whether it's worth covering or not.
Oh.
It's probably like invitations anywhere else, Betty. When they're engraved, you think maybe you ought to go. When they're just something that's on a little card, well, you think it over.
Well, gentlemen, I have one more question to ask you. Do you think radio and television will ever constitute a real threat to the supremacy of newspapers? Dar.
That's a toughie.
Pretty good, huh?
You murder me, Dreamboat.
It's got me frightened. That is, television has. I don't think...
It's got the actors frightened, too, Dar, believe me.
Oh, there'll always be plenty of work for actors. Television, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it is a threat, sure.
Sure it is.
Lloyd?
A threat to newspapers? No, I don't think so, because I think there are enough features in the modern newspaper to cover such a varied field that television could never compete with it. They may be able to put news on, and they may be able to present newsreels in a far better way than we have now, but they'll never be able to have as much for the entire family. You can't start putting the comics on and crossword puzzles and your cooking and everything else all in one show.
They're sure going to try it.
I think they've tried it.
Yeah.
I don't think they did too well either.
I think what Lloyd means is he'd rather read Dick Tracy than see it on television.
Or listen to it on the radio.
Yeah. Well, Betty, I...
Is that on this network incident?
I remember reading somewhere one of these fanciful tales, which kind of catch everyone's fancy, about the little home machine, through which the news is broadcast from a central station, and it prints the news in your own home and out rolls mm-hmm. the paper in time with your coffee. This is for me.
Betty, I don't think television is going to be that big a threat to newspapers, because no matter what you put on television or radio, you can't bottle it. Mm-hmm. And when you get it on paper, you have it, and you know you want to keep your press clippings and have a scrapbook, and you can't keep it on television.
I agree with you. I don't think it's much of a threat to movies either. And by that I mean I think one day that the movies will be making the pictures for television. I think it's going to be such a boom for actors, producers, directors, everybody when they finally get settled around.
That's
don't
what
you?
I think. I think it's going to be the biggest boom for the movies, and they'll make pictures for television. And if they don't, and television keeps going the way it is, they'll drive people into the theaters.
That's right. Well. Oh, go ahead. No, I haven't got any more.
Have you got a little something? You got a little something to say?
No, that's
if you want
to
follow with television.
And then television, I think, the most interesting thing to be talking about anyway. Everybody's all the actors are like this about it. No.
As long as we get into that television thing.
Why don't you just throw one? Let's say, can we reverse our reverse press conference?
That's what I was going to say. Let's do it.
Just one person do that.
You do it.
No, no. Ask me and I'll say certainly. Go ahead. I mean, with her permission, we can.
No, you just...
No, why don't you have... Let Mickey or somebody ask.
All right, Mickey.
Or let Mickey ask right. Hank if it's all right.
What are your plans for television? Do we miss that and all the fun questions?
Yeah, all right.
You're speaking about television or something.
Mm-hmm. Hank, have I your permission to do something a little unique on the show? I'd like to reverse the reversal of our show and fire another question at Betty.
Well, it's not up to me, Mickey. It's up to our guest, Miss Hutton. What do you say, Betty?
I love it.
Well Betty, I hate to do this because you were so drunk with power a few minutes ago. But I think in our flurry of asking you questions, we completely forgot to inquire if you have any plans for television personally.
Well, no, Mickey, I haven't at the moment. I think television is really the most fascinating industry to come along in so long. It's like when they change from silent pictures to sound. And at the moment, I don't know if all the people out there know the actors are scared to death, the producers are scared, the directors, because our box office is so off. But in going to New York, Abe Lansford, my agent, just got back from there, and they're handling all of the television. It's just such a tremendous big thing that we don't see here in California, and you can't stop it. But as he said, the pictures will be made by the motion picture studios because, as you know, everybody looks so bloody awful right now on television. And they can never change that because they can't shoot it that fast. You can't shoot close-ups, you know, Cindy, and light them right now. We take a half hour, for instance, to light one shot, which is why the girl looks good. It isn't fair for a gal to go out and have the bag show and this stuff. And all of these things can only be controlled by making the picture first. I think news events and all that are just wonderful to be covered immediately. But a picture, I don't care what it's about, it's got to look good. You don't want to, mentioning no names, I saw a girl who's a very beautiful girl on television the other night. She just looked awful.
They look like
and it isn't fair. I mean, they look so much worse than they are.
Well, the studios have all the facilities for taking pictures, too. I mean, the equipment necessary to do a really good job.
I think it's going to be the greatest boom to the entertainment business that has ever happened when they get squared around as to who gets the money.
What about you?
I saw a guy sitting in a movie theater the other night holding a comb in front of his eyes. He said he's too used to his television.
Betty, well, Betty, for your very, very, very excellent poise during our press conference. Betty, for your very excellent poise during our press conference, I'd like to assure you have a lifetime press pass to come back and sit in with our panel anytime you'd like to on Hollywood Byline.
Thank you, Hank, and I had a wonderful time, and thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you so much, Betty Hutton, star of Annie Get Your Gun and Let's Dance, for appearing on this program. Our thanks, too, of course, to our panel of reporters, Mikhail Novak, Philadelphia Bulletin, Lloyd Sloan, Hollywood Citizen News and Movie Life Magazine, Sidney Skolsky, syndicated columnist, New York Post, and Dar Smith, Los Angeles Daily News. See you all at our Hollywood press table at the same time next week. Until then, this is Hank Weaver saying good night from Hollywood.
Betty Hutton will soon be seen in Paramount's Let's Dance. Listen again at this same time next week when ABC, over many of these stations, presents another edition of Hollywood Byline, featuring an exclusive on-the-air press conference with an outstanding movie star, interviewed by reporters whose beat is Hollywood, the film and glamour capital of the world. Hollywood Byline is directed by William T. Johnson and transcribed in Hollywood.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did. What? I was going to say, you said Christ near the end there once.
Christ?
Yes.
Oh, no.
You did. Yes,
I did.
In the speech near the end.
Well, I was awful quick if it did. I didn't.
I don't know that.